What do you want? Why have you come here?
You're heading toward a nuclear war that could wipe out the human race. Like most politicians, Ling Po's first reaction was to deny Stoner's accusation. Let's be truthful with one another, Stoner said mildly, standing before the bed with his arms folded across his chest. Nuclear war is coming unless we take the necessary steps to prevent it. The Chinese leader's pointed chin rose a notch.
The Americans are building nuclear weapons.
So are the Iranians, said Stoner, and others will follow.
You see, China cannot afford to stand defenseless against our enemies.
Why are they your enemies? Ling Po blinked at the question. He started to get to his feet, but sagged back on the silk bed covers again.
Because we have failed, he said, his voice low and miserable.
Failed? Stoner could sense that the man was struggling within himself. Gently, he encouraged Ling Po to reveal the full truth.
For many decades, we have toiled with the problem of population growth. China set an example, we thought, by passing laws limiting family size. For a while, the Europeans also restrained their growth, but only for a short while. The Muslims and Slavs, the poorest among them, have sent Europe's birth rate rising once more.
I see, Stoner murmured.
Today, the world's population is soaring again. 12 billion today. In a few years, it will be 20 billion. The global economy is strained to the utmost, devouring the Earth's natural resources at an unsustainable rate.
And the resources you import from space haven't helped, Stoner said. The power satellites, raw materials from the asteroids. Ling Po shook his head.
They have only aggravated the problem. More resources lead to more population growth. Their religious leaders tell them it is sinful to control family size, and their political leaders tell them we have access to limitless resources from space. But those resources are not limitless. Nothing is limitless except the constant growth of population.
Stoner saw the anguish in the man's face, heard it in his tone.
The other nations will not restrict their growth. Many of them say it is against their God's wishes to do so. They demand more and more resources, constantly more and more. Soon there will be war over Canada's fresh water, over Vietnam's rice bowl, over the Saharan energy farms.
Nuclear war, Stoner muttered.
China can survive such a war, Ling Po said. China can suffer hundreds of millions of casualties and still survive.
On a world blanketed with radioactive clouds, Stoner asked grimly, can you survive a nuclear winter that destroys crops and turns the world dark for years?
Underground, Ling Po answered. We are preparing mammoth underground cities, learning from the cities on the moon, such as Selene. We will stay underground as long as we have to. China will survive.
And all those who don't, Stoner demanded. The billions who are killed, what of them? Ling Po had no answer. Chapter 15. Aboard the starship, Kathy felt anticipation bubbling inside her as she and her brother prepared to visit Earth. She had dressed herself in a simple shirt and light tan slacks with stylish boots. Her honey-colored hair was pulled back off her face in a shoulder-length ponytail that bobbed with every movement she made. They were in Kathy's quarters. She had adjusted the starship's decor so that the room appeared to be a comfortable lounge, with plush royal blue carpeting and deeply upholstered armchairs. Kathy had seen such a room in a magazine she had picked up on the ship's scanner. But the windows in her room looked out not on an ex-urban home's swimming pool, but on the blue-swathed planet Earth, glowing against the star-flecked blackness of infinite space.
So where are you going? Rick asked.
He was wearing light blue coveralls that looked like a military uniform, although it was completely unadorned by insignia or marks of rank.
Egypt, Kathy said. I've always wanted to see the royal tombs.
Hunting for buried treasure? He teased.
Hunting for human history, Kathy explained.
What about you?
The Khyber Pass,
the Khyber Pass.
With a knowing grin, Rick explained, plenty of history there, too, plus a contingent of the International Peacekeeping Force.
That's why you're in uniform.
Yep.
Blending in with natives, Kathy said, laughing. Then, it's exciting, isn't it, going to Earth?
Calm yourself, Rick said. It's not like we haven't been down there before.
I know, but that was different. We were just sightseeing then, and Mom was with us.
With a sardonic grin, Rick said, and what are we doing now? Just because we're going out on our own doesn't mean we're anything more than sightseers. She shook her head, making the ponytail sway.
Dad wants us to see what's really going on. We can help him.
Help him do what?
Save them, she answered. Save the human race.
Rick huffed impatiently. Kathy had been his big sister when they'd lived on Earth. But when those thugs had invaded their home in Hawaii to kidnap their father, Kathy had been cut down by the blast of an automatic rifle during the fight. Once she had been born again, she became Rick's younger sister. He always remembered that he was now the senior of the two, even though they were both more than a century old.
Save the human race, he scoffed. Why bother? I don't think they deserve to be saved. I don't think they want to be saved. Don't say that, Kathy objected. They deserve to be helped. We can't stand by and let them blow themselves away.
I know that's what Dad thinks, said Rick. But I wonder. They sure don't behave as though they want to be saved. Kathy started out of the room. Taking a superior tone, she told her brother,
Well, you're going to have the chance of seeing them for yourself firsthand.
Big thrill. They stepped out of the room and into what seemed like empty space. Hovering in the starlit dark, protected by a shell of energy, they looked out at the ponderous bulk of the planet.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Kathy murmured.
Rick said nothing, but he nodded slowly. Earth hung before their eyes, a huge curving sphere half in sunlight. The daylit side of the planet glowed, oceans heartbreakingly blue, clouds purest white, continents wrinkled brown with swaths of green. On the night side they could see the lights of cities and highways interlinked like living creatures stretching tendrils out to one another.
Oh, Rick, Kathy breathed, we can't let them destroy their world.
It's not up to us, Kath, he countered. We can't stop them from wiping themselves out.
We've got to try, Kathy replied.
Deeper inside the starship, Stoner and Joe watched their children prepare to leave.
Are you sure they'll be all right?
Joe asked her husband. He slid an arm around her shoulders and pulled her to him. Yes, of course. Before she could respond, he added, You can monitor them. Keep your eye on them. If they get into something they can't handle, you can pull them back here. Joe leaned her head against his shoulder.
You really think it's best for them to go down there?
They're part of this, he said, his voice low but firm. They've got to see for themselves, make up their own minds.
I suppose so, Joe agreed, reluctantly. But it's worse than we thought it ever could be, isn't it?
Stoner nodded, his bearded face taut with apprehension. The problem is so damned deep, he said.
Maybe it's in their genes, she said.
No, Stoner replied. It's learned. Culture, not genes. At least I hope so.
If it is genetic, then there's nothing much we can do about it, is there?
Stoner nodded. But he said, I'm certain it's cultural. Bakhtiar, the Iranian astronomer we talked with, he saw right away that our ship has technology that the Iranian military would snap up and use if they could, and he immediately realized that he couldn't tell anyone about it, not even his own brother.
One man, Joe said.
There are others, said Stoner. There must be.
You hope?
Stoner said nothing for several heartbeats. Then, they're so stupefyingly backward. They're heading for the 12th stupid century, for God's sake. You'd have thought that by this time they'd know better than to let their population grow out of control.
And their technology is nowhere near where it ought to be.
They've stifled technological growth, cut off whole lines of research in the name of religion.
Their religions are out of date, said Joe.
Religions are always out of date, Stoner replied. They're designed to be conservative, to hold on to the values.